you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start around 2 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse 7. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, reads as follows. Tell you what, I'm gonna jump back up and grab a little bit of verse 6, if that's okay with you guys. Verse 6 says, and I'm gonna read from the New Living Translation this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin at verse 5, 6, 7. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh as a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Verse 8 says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. King James Version said, my grace is sufficient enough for thee. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in my insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, when I'm weak, I'm really strong. Tell him again, when I'm weak, I'm really strong. My brothers and sisters, amen. This passage of scripture was written by none other than the great apostle Paul. Amen. It's really hard to go to church and not hear something, amen, that was written by, something that was said, something, a story that happened to the Apostle Paul. I believe this message is going to help many of us who might be struggling with some things. I think little Boosie said, I'm going through some things. Is that what he said? Was that Boosie? He said, I'm going through some things. Amen. And many of us, my brothers and sisters, are going through some things. Amen. You might not stand up and testify and tell us all what you're going through, but everybody in here that's under the sound of my weak voice, you are going through some things. Your trouble may not be financial trouble. Your trouble may not be health. Amen. Your trouble, it may not be your children. It may not be your family, but all of us, amen, are going through some things. And when you're going through things, it makes life, my brothers and sisters, it makes life a little bit uncomfortable. Some of y'all are going through some things right now because you're saying, Lord have mercy, it's cold in here. They turned that air on and we really don't need all that AC, right? I'm going through some things. Somebody said, oh Lord, he turned it off and I'm having a hot flash. All of us are going through some things. Somebody's child support didn't make it in the mail this week. I'm just keeping it real because those are the issues that we deal with here at the OC. Amen. I'm not going to say that. Somebody's light bills due, and they don't know where the money's coming from. You're going through some things. Somebody doesn't know. You don't know if you're going to have a job next week. You're going through some things. Some of y'all celebrated 420 yesterday, and you hope your PO don't pop a drug test on you. This week, you're going through some things. Some of y'all know what 420 is, but see, I know what 420 is. I'm a probation officer. I'm going to hit them next week, boy. Woo! I'm going to have them lined up. Y'all know what I hear is the cup. You know what I want. So I hope none of my clients celebrate it, because if I can't celebrate 420, y'all can't. Come on, y'all, lighten up this morning. Come on now. But Paul said here at the end of all this, he says that in verse 10, he says, that's why I take pleasure in my... Is Paul crazy? Paul said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses. I'm excited about... Paul, you excited about your weak? What's wrong with you, man? But then he went on to say, but when I'm weak, I'm strong. My brothers and sisters, what we don't realize is that when we're going through something, when the finances are not where they need to be in order to make ends meet, amen. Those are the times, my brothers and sisters, when we're closest to God. Amen. Troubles that we go through, storms in life, keep us on our knees praying to an almighty God. Amen. And you know, there's something to say about the baptized believer, the Christian. Amen. When he's going through some things, when he'll say, you know what? I'm going through some things. My money's short. My relationship's all messed up. But I'm still going to go praise God anyway. This is what Paul was trying to encourage the church folks to do. He said, you know what? I have gone through some things. I'm going through some things, y'all. He said, I could tell you about this great thing that happened to me. Above that, he talks about, he said, I could tell you that I went up into the third heavens and I seen things that I can't even tell y'all about. See, some of us, we only share, amen, the good news. Well, guess what? I went over to the casino and I hit a lick. And you tell everybody. Right? That's good. It's good to tell that. But Paul said, you know what? I could boast about all these great things that happened. That God allowed me to come up to the third heavens and see things that I can't even tell y'all. Amen. To hear things that I can't even repeat. I could brag about that. But you know, that wouldn't do any good. Because I'm down here with you. I'm down here in this world. And I'm going through the same things that you guys are going through. Y'all know that if you go backwards, if you rewind a little bit, and you start reading around maybe chapter 10, Paul talks about the fact that he talks about how many times he'd been beaten. He said, he said five different times. I mean, I took 36 lashes. One time I was stoned. Paul was stoned. Has anybody been stoned lately? It feel like it, don't say, no, well, it felt like it. He'd been stoned. He was shipwrecked three times. I could tell you about it, but I'm going to tell you. Let me share something with you. Paul said, I got a thorn in my flesh. I got something in me that just make me not right. I'm not whole. And I went to God. I went to him once. I said, Lord, you know who I am. I'm Paul. The one that used to persecute the church. The one who was present at the stoning of Stephen. The one, you know, God even used Paul in his messed up state. Do you realize that when Stephen was stoned, and the Bible says that Paul, before he changed his name was Saul, that he was present. And after the stoning of this great deacon, this great man of God, Stephen, Paul was persecuting the church at that time. And the people thought they had done the right thing. So what they did was, take off that tailor-made jacket you got on. The people, after they stoned Stephen, a man who was full of the Holy Ghost, a man that was upright, a man that did everything that God asked him to do, Paul stood back and watched this event. And the Bible says, well, that tailor-made, boy, everybody can't do it like that. They placed their jackets at Paul's feet. And Paul approved of the stoning of this great man of God, Stephen. And then after that, my brothers and sisters, can I say it? All hell broke loose. Thanks, Sister Robert. I got one hand clap right here. Can I get another one on this side? All right. all hell broke loose. And Paul began to go crazy, and he started going and arresting Christians, locking them up, taking them to jail, putting them in prison. And then the Bible says that after this particular event, then all the people began to scatter. The men and women of God began to scatter. Thank you, Taylor Made. But something great happened out of those people being scattered. Bible says that the word of God began to travel. He used Paul even in his messed up state in order for God's word to travel. Did y'all see that? And even Philip went out, and Philip ran into an Egyptian eunuch. Boy, this ain't even in the sermon, but I want to help somebody. And that's how Christianity got into Africa. It's because of Paul's mess up, killing Christian people. Y'all know Paul was a killer? Paul was a killer and went on to write 14 books in the Bible. But we want to put folks out of the church. Well, I sound like Pastor Bailey, don't I? We want to put folks out of the church because they messed up. Thanks, Sister Roberta. That was the next thing I would say. She said, we all messed up. Paul, the one who persecuted the church, amen, and now he has an experience with God, with Christ, on the Damascus Road. He was knocked down off of his high horse and blinded for 3 days. And accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and said, Lord, for you, I'll live for you and I'm going to die for you. And he went on from then on, amen, establishing churches, mentoring young men, amen, to be great preachers and great teachers, communicating with the churches. Paul could have bragged about all this, but he said, you know what, I messed up. I got something wrong with me. I have an ailment. Many theologians believe that Paul had something that had made him kind of stoop over. They said he was bent a little bit. And then Paul even himself even talks about the fact that he really didn't speak that well. He wrote great, but he didn't speak that well. He went to God. He went to Christ. He said, listen, I got this thorn in my flesh. I need you to take it out. But the Lord's response was, my grace is sufficient enough for thee. Paul went back, preached a little bit more, wrote a few more letters, got beat up a few more times, whooped a few more times. And he went back and said, wait a minute, God, I'm trying to do your work. I'm trying to do your will. What about this thorn? Second time. I got this thorn in my flesh. Something that makes me not whole. That makes me not right. Oh, I want to be whole. I want to be upright. Second time. Lord tells him, Paul, my grace is sufficient enough for thee. Third time. Third time's a charm, right? Went back a third time. Would you please remove this thorn from my flesh? God told him, my grace is sufficient enough for thee. See, what Paul did, my brothers and sisters, because he kept on with his ministry. See, some of us have some thorns and we quit. Thorns. Thorns could be not only physical. You know, my mother had knee replacement and she's missed a few Sundays and we're praying for her and we know that God's going to heal her body and help her deal with the fact that she got a thorn. But, you know, mama need to get back to church, y'all. We need to pray for mama. I'm just keeping it real. Mama need to get back to church because, yep, you got a thorn. That's that old knee. It don't move like your original knee. But my grace is sufficient enough for Sister McGuire. Amen? Amen. And you know what? Some of y'all need to get on your phone and call Sister McGuire and tell her, Sister, we're praying for you. We miss you. We love you. God's grace is sufficient enough for you. You're going to be all right. Amen? All right. Phone going to be blowing up at the church, right? Thorns. Some of us may not have physical thorns, but we have mental thorns. When I was a kid, see, this happened to me. But see, you know what? In your weakness, you should be stronger. You should be stronger because of what you went through. Amen? But a lot of times we use our deficiencies and we use our handicaps in order to keep us from doing what God would have us to do. Amen. You know, we have all kind of excuses. Well, I'm black, and you know, do you know how they do us? Brother ain't got a chance in a white man's. Really? Really? Got two jobs and a church and a family. What's your excuse? Did nobody tell you to go get a felony? But even with a felony, that's your thorn, and you can still make it, because in your weakness, he's made strong. My grandmother used to tell us, DQ, when we were kids, my grandmother's name was Lovin' McGuire. She was an old school teacher. She taught school for 37 years. If you got in trouble with her, you know, she'd make you sit on a bucket, just some crazy stuff. You know, then she'd whoop you on the hand with a ruler. And then when we got older and got big, where we could run from her, where we respected her, some of y'all think this is child abuse, but when we got big enough to, you know, that she really couldn't whoop us like she used to, she'd make us lay across the bed like this. I said, look, Shannon looked like, oh my God, grandmother was horrible. But granny would lay us on the bed, and she'd hold a hammer in one hand, and a bell in the other one, saying, if you raise your head, I'm going to raise that head up. I'm going to hit you in the back of your head. And she wasn't going to do it. Lay across that bed, I hold this hammer, and I'm gonna whoop your butt with this hand, I hold the hammer down. So what would you rather do? Take the butt whooping or get the hammer in the head? Now don't y'all go home and do that. You'd be on Facebook, you'd be in trouble. But if you got a big old son and don't act, lay him across the bed. But granny used to tell us, can't never could. Stop talking about what you can't do, because in our weaknesses, my brothers and sisters, we're made strong. Hallelujah, somebody. See, look at what Paul did, and I'm almost done. Paul learned to accept his thorn because he realized that it could not stop him from accomplishing God's mission in his life. There's nothing that can stop you from accomplishing God's mission in your life. Nothing at all. Only you. When we choose to sit down, when we choose not to move forward, when we choose not to persevere, my brothers and sisters, that's when it stops. But Paul, even though he went to God three times, he said, I'm going to keep on keeping on. This may not be your first church. This might be your second church. This might be your third church. But God, his grace is sufficient enough. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Paul was willing to suffer for God's commission for his life. Attacks didn't stop him. And when the King James Version said calamities are attacks. Attacks didn't stop him. But so many of us, attack will stop us.
They talking about me. I ain't never done nothing to nobody. You know, I just try to be good and nice to everybody, and then they just dog me out. Why me? Why they put me on blast on Facebook? I ain't even do that. I mean, not all that. You know, I did some of that.
You know what's crazy is the revival we had. You know, I'm so positive about it. Woo! Pastor Bailey came down here and he ripped it up, man. He tore it up and it was off the chain and we had a good time and, man, so many people were blessed. And I had one negative report. One negative report. Y'all know it almost messed me up. And then they attacked me.
Yep, it's on the website. They attacked me.
Said I act like I'm all, he up there acting like he all that. He ain't nobody. I didn't go down there for him, no way. I went down there for Pastor Bibble. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. Can I be real? Can I be real, Orange Chapel? See, I'm bipolar. It's two of me. It's just Pastor McGuire. How you doing? I'm Pastor McGuire. But then there's this other fella most of y'all hadn't met. His name is Shan, Shan. He don't even finish the name. See, when I heard that, Sister Roberta, Shan said, what? He said, what? I said, all right. You know, start looking around. They're like, you know, just looking. Shan popped out. Y'all's past Shan popped out. But then, you know what? We had to learn how to count to 10. 20 times. But you know what? You know what I did though? I allowed one negative report, one negative person, one hater, to almost ruin, because you know what? I know there were hundreds of people that were blessed because we were packed up in here like sardines. Some of y'all are here this morning because of that revival. And I thank God for it today. But I almost let what one person said negative. Paul didn't let the fact that he was shipwrecked 3 times stop him. He didn't allow the fact that he had a thorn in it. You know what? That Negro that said that might be a thorn in my flesh. But you know what? His grace is sufficient enough. I'm not going to let that stop me from doing what God called me to do. I almost preached a mad sermon today. Like Pastor Bailey said, we all got a buddy love. See, buddy love won't act up. Y'all saw Nutty Professor. But I remain Pastor McGuire. Ain't that good? My brothers and sisters, thorns in our lives, they can threaten our faith if we allow them to. Because when thorns come into our lives, what they will do is that thorns will raise questions about the fact if God really loves us. A divorce is a horrible thing. It's rough. And then when we go through that, when we go through the hurt of whatever happened to cause you to divorce, then we begin to wonder, wait a minute, I'm in church. I'm doing all of this. And that's what Paul's question was. Listen, God, man, I'm doing all this stuff. I mean, I could do so much better if you would take this thorn away. Woo. Oh, that was good right there. The fact that we are able to keep pressing forward despite these obstacles reveals God's power and sufficient grace working through our inadequacies. All of us, amen, have some deficiencies and some inadequacies. When I went and had my physical, I felt good. I thought I looked good, too. You know, you go in that annual physical and, you know, you start getting a little, I'm getting a little older. So I'm like, man, how's this physical going to come out? And I thought I was, you know, everything was good, but say, yeah, you got a vitamin, vitamin D? You got a little vitamin D deficiency. I said, whoa, wait a minute. But I feel good. He said, oh, it's okay. All you got to do is, you know, take this little pill every day and, you know, we'll check you next year. You should be all right. But I thought everything was good. And sometimes we have thorns, my brother. And you know what? The thing about it is, if you don't take care of things, then it could be a problem later on. Amen. But Paul didn't allow this, and I don't know who that was for, but Paul didn't allow this thorn to stop him from doing what God had called him to do. We can embrace hardship with the confidence that everything that happens to us can serve as a long-term benefit with God's larger plan for our lives. Know that whatever we go through, whatever you go through, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a loss, whether it's you know, your struggle. Some of us, my brothers and sisters, there's some people even in here, you might have had a drug or alcohol addiction. That was your thorn. And how many of us asked God to take that thorn away? That's right. Now, let me tell you this. Every alcoholic, you may not drink no more, but you're still an alcoholic. The saint, you're still a sinner. You just saved by grace. Amen? You still. That's why I tell you, I'm bipolar. Shan is still in there, but he's just smaller than he used to. He used to be big. He used to walk around cussing folks out and talking noise and all that stuff. Going to parties and letting y'all drop it like it was hot while I did like this. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ain't never done that. I know, I'm sorry, Deacon Smith. I have some thorns. You know, but no matter what our inadequacy is, my brothers and sisters, we can still do what God called us to do. Amen. Tony, you know what? As good as he looks up there playing that organ, he messed up. Thorn in his flesh. He may not tell me what it is, but he talks to God about it all the time. And he wonders, why? God, why won't you take this away from me? I say, Tony, if I took it away from you, then, brother, it wouldn't be no need for you to call on me no more. Before every AA meeting, everybody has sent up, good morning, my name is Shannon, and I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober for the last 10 years, 4 days, and 5 hours. Hey, my name is Emily, and I'm an alcoholic. goes through the room. You know, the church ought to be the same way. Hello, my name is Pastor McGuire, and I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. And the blood still works, and it'll never lose its power. Been saved, running for Jesus for the last 35 years. Whole church ought to be like that. We ought to be like Jack in the Box on Sunday morning. Oh, my name's Steve. Steve, the second, not the first. Not the senior, but the second. I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. God clearly showed Paul, and I'm fixing the clothes. I was going to hoop and holler for y'all today, but nope, not going to do it. I'm going to do it this evening. When I go to Detroit, we better get ready. But what my brothers and sisters, this is what means, you know, when we live, when we do like Paul, when God told Paul that my grace is sufficient enough, do we ever see Paul going back to him asking him about these thorns? Once he said my grace is sufficient enough, and whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, you go on and ask God back for over and over and over, understanding his grace is sufficient enough. And then what we have to understand is this is what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. I don't look good, but I'm still good for God. I don't feel good, but I can still be used by God. That's what he said. In my weakness, I'm made strong. How many of y'all don't want to do some of the stuff you do? All of us. Boy, there's some stuff, man, that we've been trying to wash off. Can't get it off. But his grace is sufficient enough for you. Stop being so hard on yourself. Some of y'all are so hard on yourselves. And you know what? The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he wants to do is kill your confidence in Christ and what he can do. And when God is telling you, my grace is sufficient enough, Satan's telling you, boy, you messed up. You told, boy, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. Quit going down to that church, faking and shaking, being a hypocrite. So many people don't come to church because they're friends. Because they're friends and they're family. Why don't? Man, you were just at the club. Let me tell y'all something. I used to go to the church in the same clothes I wore to the club. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. What kind of preacher is that? Well, I'm a preacher that know what go on out there. I can help you with some stuff I can help you with. Some stuff I can't. I never had a baby daddy, so I can't help you with him. But I know how I acted when I was one. Now, guess what? I used to be a baby daddy. I must admit. And sometimes I did act crazy too. But I stuck with God, and he stuck with me. He stuck with us. And his grace is sufficient enough to pull you through anything. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Ooh, this is some good stuff this morning. Y'all go tell somebody, I got a good word in Orange Chapel. Things that hinder our bodies, my brothers and sisters, this thing hindered his body. And we may have some things that hinder our body. Amen? Things that hinder our bodies must not hinder our faith. We do not abandon God over these struggles. We must ask him to give us calm in the midst of a storm. See, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, but he was able to continue on doing the work that God had set him out to do. And there would be 14 less books in our Bible. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. There would be 14 less books in our Bible if Paul didn't have confidence in what God told him when he said, my grace is sufficient enough. Paul would have quit right there and said, I'm sick, I'm hurting. I asked God to do it and he didn't. But Paul had sense enough. To go down and say that he said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses. Ooh, that's good, that's good. In the insults. Anybody been insulted? Talked about? See, they put us on blast on Facebook now. Anybody ever got anybody talk bad about you? They said, no, they didn't do me like that. Because your throwing is you like to throw these hands. So they didn't put you on blast on Facebook. Because they knew how you would act. But you know what? Even God is more powerful than any thorn that we might have. Let me tell you, will y'all swallow that this morning? Will you hold your nose and swallow the fact that his grace is sufficient enough for you? Stop letting folks tell you what you're not and what you can't do and what you can't be, because you can be whatever you want to be in Christ. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Y'all think I could be the way I am? I like Shan. I like that dude. I like being him. We had fun. DQ, when I had a hairline like you and waves in my head, you know, could about bench press 300 pounds, weight 173, chiseled up, look like a Greek god. Can you remember that?
Yes, he said, yeah.
You know, but God had something better for me. Amen? He said, in the midst of insults, hardships. Anybody been through hardships? The Bible, Paul is helping us right here. Persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. My brothers and sisters, the thorn ultimately made him stronger by forcing him to rely on God's power. The things that you're struggling with this morning, you're struggling with them, amen, because you have to, at this point, rely on God's power. How many of you would have got up this morning and came to church on your own power? Not me. It's a long way from Roxton to Arthur City. And gas is high. But I believe that the spirit that's within us, see, we're bipolar. See, that good side. Y'all remember the cartoons? Remember the old school cartoons when the angel would be on one side talking and the devil would be on the other side talking? None of us would have got up in here but that angel. The voice of God was speaking to Daryl, said, listen, I know you worked all night last night. I know you worked graveyard shift. But listen. And then the devil said, boy, you need some rest. It's Mila's birthday, and you know you're gonna have to but you're gonna have to put in some work today. Cause it's her birthday. She ain't gonna let you go to bed. You're gonna stay up, take out to eat, buy something. Won't you just go to bed? Daryl, you know you need to go to church. Cause you got some thorns. And my grace is sufficient enough, and there's a word down there at that little old metal building in Arthur City that's going to help you out. All right. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to keep you. Just have faith in me. I got your back, young man. Don't listen to that fool over there, because you can't get nothing if you sleep. All right. Some of us sleeping through life because we got a thorn. And you trying to self-medicate. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. See, I got some folks on probation that are ADD. Attention deficit disorder. Y'all know, like, I can't stop moving. And I jump from one subject to the other, that I got it too. But some people self-medicate. You know what self-medicating is? You ain't got the real medicine. You just use your own medicine. Popping pills, smoking, drinking, that's self-medicating. But he wants you to know that his grace is sufficient enough for you. We just got to trust and believe him. Amen? I meant to be through by now. We need God's peace to live with the obstacles. And in all circumstances, we need the wisdom and faith to trust in his grace. His grace is truly sufficient enough for us, my brothers and sisters. Amen? And when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Come on, Tony. Told you I wasn't going to hoop and holler this morning. Somebody need to, y'all just need to digest this morning, okay? See, when I look at these thorns, and I think about all of us and the fact that we all have thorns in our lives, and we've asked the Lord time and time again to remove these things. Y'all ever asked the Lord to remove a person from your life? Lord, take this woman because she's messing me up. Lord, take this man. He keep putting these knots on my head. Lord, take this sickness. Take this illness. I want to be right. I want to be whole. But he's telling us his grace is sufficient enough for us this morning. But then I thought about Jesus. When Jesus... And I'm closing. I thought about Jesus. thought about all the different disciples in the Bible, and I found that most of our disciples had some issues. Now, Paul used to cuss. I know Peter. Peter had a mouth on him. Peter cussed, and Peter had a short temper. When the Roman soldiers came to take Jesus, Peter took his sword and cut that soldier's ear off. But the same, Peter's thorn was his attitude and his quick temper. But when Jesus came back, he said, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. But he had a thorn. Then I thought about Jesus. I said, wait a minute, we had a perfect Savior, right? But let me help you with something this morning. We had a perfect Savior up until he was placed on that cross. I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. Christ, he's our example. Paul is the great apostle Paul is a great example for us. But then Jesus, he was perfect. But wait a minute. The Lord said, wait, but let me remind them that I had. Our big brother Jesus said, remind them that I had some thorns. I said, well, Jesus, how is that so? He said, remember when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane and I was praying and I asked the Lord that if it was his will to take this cup, take this away from me because this dying thing, God, you told me to come down here and die for McGuire and die for Williams and die for Smith and die for Reed. But I don't. Are you sure, God? Are you sure I need to do this? God never answered him because the way was already set. But he prayed. He said, take this cup away from me. There's going to be some doubt sometimes in our lives. But you just keep on keeping on like Jesus Christ did. And then when they placed Jesus on that old rugged cross, when they nailed his feet, they nailed his hands. I remember the Bible says that he cried out, when he cried out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Ela, ula, shabanate, I believe is how you say it, but it's pretty close to that. You look in your Bible. But when he said that, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And my question was, why would he ask his Father? Why would he say, why hast thou forsaken me? The whole process, my brothers and sisters, is the fact that, you know, God, a holy God, cannot be in the presence of sin. The holy God can't. So at that point, when he was up on that cross, he had some thorns. A whole lot of thorns. But he had to die and he had to come back again in order for the grace to be sufficient enough for us. Are y'all with me? Jesus Christ had thorns. And you know what his thorn was? His thorn was McGuire. His thorn was you. His thorn was your sin. But my brothers and sisters, his grace, you have to understand that in his weakness, in Christ, in Jesus Christ's weakest moment, y'all better hear this. In his weakest moment, he was the strongest. When he hung there bleeding and dying was his strongest moment unto mankind. When he couldn't move because he had nails in his hand. He couldn't move because he had nails. He couldn't move because they had pierced him in his side. They had hung a crown of thorns on his head. At that point, he was the strongest. So whatever it is that you're going through this morning, whatever it is that you're going through, understand that in your weakness, he's the strongest. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Is there anyone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus Christ?